Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, ever since your kids are little, they can tell you that their tummy hurts, and they do. Often, and you're never quite sure as a parent when a tummy ache is something that you're concerned about or if it's something you say, okay, let's look. It could be gas. It could be anything. You haven't eaten or you ate too much or you're constipated. I mean, there's a million reasons, right? But when is it something that you actually call your pediatrician about or even possibly a specialist? My guest today is Dr. Anthony Porto. He's board-certified pediatrician and board-certified pediatric gastroenterologist. Welcome to the show, Dr. Porto. So let's start with our little guys. As far as tummy trouble, when do we look to things like acid or reflux or constipation or, and when do you want parents to say, you know what, this is not completely normal? And then we'll talk about some of what we can do about some of the normal stuff.
Sure. I mean, I think in terms of, I think it depends on the age of the child. In infants, what we see is that we do worry because they do spit up a lot or they're constipated or they look uncomfortable. And most of the time this is normal, especially during the first few months of life. And we'll see that it's getting better. And the most important thing to do is really, is the child eating? Is there enough wet diapers? Is their growth okay? So when you see the pediatrician, and luckily during infancy, you'll be seeing the pediatrician regularly, you can say, are they growing along their consistent growth curve? And that is just gives you an idea that this is likely just normal and they'll outgrow it. And usually reflux and that pain and uncomfortable with eating will peak at around 3 to 4 months of life and then get better. And by a year, most kids won't have those symptoms anymore.
So then when they do start to complain of those things, and boys especially get constipated, so they have tummy troubles when they're 2, 3, 4 years old. And what do we do about that?
Right. And that's a great question, because the thing is, when you think about constipation, the most common times that we see that, in infants between, 6 months when they're introducing solids, but then at about a year when you transition to whole milk, and then again during potty training, so exactly at the time you just mentioned, that 2 to 3 year mark where they're starting to exert some control. And so you want to just assess how frequently the child's having bowel movements. And if you are potty training but they seem resistant, just take a step back and put the diapers back on, the pull-ups back on, and sort of give them some of that control to see if the pain goes away. If they are having hard stools, the first thing to do would be making sure they're getting enough fluid in, checking their fiber intake, as a lot of these kids tend to be kids who maybe having more carbohydrates, which can be constipating. So introducing more of the pea fruits would be helpful, prunes, pears, papaya, apricots. All of these natural fibers can help make the stool softer. If the stools aren't getting any better, or if there's blood in the stool not related to a hard bowel movement, if they're having bowel movements at night, or they're not growing well, or there's other GI symptoms like vomiting and poor intake or poor growth, these are all signs to see a pediatrician or a gastroenterologist.
So, okay, so you mentioned things like vomiting and stuff, fever, and any of those kind of things. And even with strep throat, doctor, we sometimes hear, with strep throat, I have a sore throat and I also have a stomach ache. So we hear those kind of things. Sometimes they go together.
100%. And sometimes what happens is kids can present with belly pain, and when they're evaluated by a pediatrician who, does a thorough exam, they'll be positive for strep. And the reason is strep can commonly cause sore throat, as we are well aware of. But what it also can do, it can cause headaches, and it slows down how your stomach empties. So because the intestines aren't working like they normally should, kids can perceive it as pain.
So then if we're looking at things like vomiting and all that, then we call our pediatrician, and maybe the pediatrician recommends a gastroenterologist, a pediatric gastroenterologist to us. But what do we do for them in the meantime for some of these? You mentioned for constipation, fiber, liquids, making sure. But what about some of the like products? There's little tummies and there's gas products. I mean, gas is a big cause of tummy pain. And yet, there's not that much we can do, is there?
Sure. Really, I mean, I think a lot of it is just seeing how, you know, trying to get a hold of the symptoms and seeing whether the diet, I always really look forward to when parents come in with a symptom diary and sort of see if there's any food that could be related to it. Because in older kids, you worry about, is there any lactose intolerance? So if it seems to be happening surrounded by dairy, then that's something that would be helpful to know about so we can sort of figure out how to either remove lactose, the milk sugar from the diet, or by giving a supplement like lactase that will help your child be able to digest that and break down that milk sugar. Also, there are a lot of things on the market in terms of things that could reduce gas. But truth be told, sometimes they can help, but they're not very well established in terms of how helpful they really can be for your child. So I think having a diet history, seeing whether your child may benefit from something like an antacid or, as we said, change the diet in terms of a low-acid diet by removing certain things if we think that that's what's causing their tummy to cause pain. But I usually look out to see whether dairy, acidity of the diet, any certain foods like greasy foods are contributing to some of this pain. And if the pain is localized, that's very helpful. Younger kids may not be able to localize their pain, but if you're having pain in the right upper side, then we're thinking, is this something to do with the gallbladder or gallstones? When it's more diffuse, then it could be related to stress. And so you're really trying to figure out, is it only happening on the morning before a test, or is it happening before a certain sport activity or things that are, you know, where there might be some heightened stress? These are all things that are very important to sort of help the pediatrician and possibly the gastroenterologist figure out.
So, Dr. Porter, one thing that parents are all afraid of is appendicitis. And they're all like, okay, stomach ache, where is it? Where is it? Is it on the right side or the left side? Or, you know, I mean, I know so many parents that are like that, and sometimes it can be appendicitis. So what is that signal? What symptoms do we look for there?
Sure. And so kids with appendicitis will typically start with pain right around the belly button. And that pain would be severe enough that the child will not want to eat, may have some vomiting. And then the pain will sort of move to the lower right side. And they will have some pinpoint and very close tenderness when you touch them there. And the other signs to look out for is if you're in a car and there's some, and you're on a rocky road and there's some movement, that movement will cause pain. So if you shake their bed or even shake their belly back and forth and they're having worsening of the pain, that will be a sign that this is something that needs to be seen in the emergency room or to call your pediatrician about what would be the best thing to do next.
So, and back to gas for just a minute. Do movements or massage or pulling their knees into their chest, are there some things that you recommend that we try and do if this child is somebody who, and then speak a little bit about probiotics. Should we be using those in our kids?
Great. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there are some activities, especially in the younger kids, where you could do bicycle exercises. So exactly what you describe, bringing the knees up to the chest and in a bicycle motion, that can help move the gas. And I also like to do abdominal massages and recommend that families do that. And with that, you're sort of working your way around the colon. So the right lower part of the belly is where the colon starts. So you work your way up the right side until you get to the rib cage, go towards the left, and then down to the left lower side of the belly. And in that movement, you're sort of pressing on the belly and giving a little massage to help promote movement of that gas outward.
Yeah. And what about, and because that's really great advice, and it's something that parents can do that actually makes a difference right then and there for those gas pains that kids get. And what about probiotics?
So probiotics, the studies of probiotics have been shown to help in a few instances. So there's very good data on the use of probiotics in children who are going to go on an antibiotic to prevent antibiotic-associated diarrhea. And it's also been shown to help in kids who have, say, an infectious gastroenteritis, so just a stomach bug. And if they have a stomach bug, it's been shown to help decrease the duration and frequency of the diarrhea. We have seen some benefit, and this is more anecdotal, on kids with constipation and with belly pain. But again, the data isn't foolproof. And it really depends on the type of probiotic that you use. And so basically, the ones we think that are beneficial are lactobacillus and bifidobacteria are two of the most common bacteria ones. So you want to make sure that the probiotic you choose has a good amount of those bacteria.
So on to our little bit older children, and especially our girls. You know, they might be 9, 10, 11, hopefully not 9, 10, but somewhere in and around there, more around 12 or 13, and maybe they start getting some cramps, but they don't really know what they are. And so how do we identify that this could be a hormone-related thing that could signal maybe they're going to, you know, start getting their period at some point?
So, I mean, basically, I think it really depends on, again, keeping track of the pain. Is the pain, you know, cyclic, like you would expect if they're getting their menses, or is it just different types of hormone levels that are sort of they haven't gotten their menses yet, but their hormones are sort of adjusting in their body as they're hitting puberty. And so really keeping track of that, whether there's any association with feeds, which usually it's not. Usually these pains are sort of more constant and periodic versus, you know, after a feed where they get better or after they eat breakfast or after they eat lunch or if they skip meals. And sometimes with this age group, and I see it all the time with certain kids where they don't have lunch or they skip breakfast or their lunch is at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, depending on where it falls in their class. We really want to assess for hunger pains as well. So making sure that they're actually, you know, getting the right nutrients that they need during this very high growth in their life.
And when do we worry about things like Crohn's disease? When do you worry? I mean, if there's a family history or not, in a teenage girl or boy who's starting to get diarrhea and stomach pains, and as you mentioned, stomach pains after eating certain foods, what do? We keep a diary, and then when is it time to see a specialist?
Right. So, I mean, I think with stomach pains that are chronic, so when it lasts more than 3 months, that's when things we start getting concerned. With Crohn's disease, what you're thinking about, again, is there diarrhea? Is the diarrhea more than 10 to 14 days? Is there weight loss? Is there any other rashes? And you're 100% right about the family history. Even though about 25% would have a family history, the majority won't have a family history. So that doesn't mean it won't be IBD. So if the child is falling off growth curves, both in height and or weight, then this is something that we want to be seen sooner. And that's when I think the first step would be where the pediatrician would do some screening blood work and some screening stool tests to assess for celiac disease, for inflammation that may make us suspicious for IBD, whether it be Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. The diarrhea can be bloody, but it doesn't have to be. So these are all the different signs that we need to look out for.
So wrap it up as a peds GI doc for parents listening with tummy aches. When to worry, when not. Give us a nice little summary, Dr. Porto.
Sure. So I think the most important thing is that belly pain is a very, very common presentation. Most of the time, there's not much to worry about, but you really want to listen to your child, try to get an idea of how frequent the symptoms are. Is it affecting their daily life? And then if you are noticing any red flags like poor weight gain, they're not enjoying their activities like they are normally, you know, then this is a time for us to see us so we can at least do screening tests so we know that we're not missing anything. And if it is happens to be functional pain, then we can also address that as well.
It's such great information, and especially for parents of little toddlers, because it is definitely something that every single parent is going to experience, their children saying, "My tummy hurts." And whether it's from drinking a milkshake and then needing to take a poop, or any of these things that cause kids to have little tummy aches, some are worrisome, some are not, and you just got the best advice. And of course, this show, Healthy Children, our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. So in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org, you're getting the information from these experts, from AAP, their spokesman. So you know it's information you can trust, and it's quality information. And remember, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, like and rate and review. That way we all get involved together, but you can listen to us on all of the aggregates, including healthychildren.org, radiomd.com, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeart, iTunes. Yeah, we're all over the place. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD and Healthy Children. Thanks for listening, and stay well.